not realize when you get out into this world and you really want to try to do right, all the baggage and all the garbage, though you're forgiven, though you're saved by the grace of God, and you want to serve the Lord, you get all them scars and all that stuff you've done. I appreciate that, brother. It does mean something to me. And I thank God for it. It helps me, and it's my heart's desire for my three children that they never know what it is to get out into this wicked world. Amen. Sure don't want my kids to live the life that I've lived, preacher. God forbid. And I appreciate that testimony. I mean that. I appreciate this church. I thank God for the atmosphere and what we've already felt in our heart, the singing. I appreciate the motel room. I thank God for your pastor. I appreciate Brother Rackley. Don't realize how blessed you are. See, I live where I live. If outside of our church, and I'm not a Pharisee, if you're going to find you a good King James Bible-believing Baptist church that believes in separation, well, you may have to drive an hour and a half. And I'm in Tennessee. I didn't say I was out in Wyoming. I said here in Tennessee. And I appreciate the fact the Lord saved me back in 1998. Hallelujah. I got born again. Amen. And you're right, brother. Whoever, those 4 or 5 said it tonight, you won't ever be the same. Amen. No, sir. And you'll never be the same. I believe exactly what the brother quoted earlier out of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And when a person gets in Christ, they're a new creature. I believe that with every fiber of my being. You say, how in the world can you believe their five-year being? Because I've experienced it. Hallelujah. Yeah. And I want to say this. Tonight I got saved April the 12th in 1998. And I'm still experiencing it. Hallelujah. Thank God. I can look back what he done then, but I can look today and see what he's done yet still today. And I thank God for that tonight. Hallelujah. Nothing like being saved. Nothing like being a child of God. Amen. Nothing like being born again. Rescued from a life of sin. I'm glad for the things that he saved me from. And I'm glad for the things that he saved me to. Hallelujah. Before I got saved, preacher, and I say this at the church where I pastor, and I say it often, when I was lost, I didn't care nothing about reading the Bible. When I was lost, I didn't care nothing about going to the house of God. When I was lost, I didn't care nothing about witnessing. Are you listening to me? And I sure didn't care nothing about praying when I was lost. And I tell you, Jesus will make a difference. Hallelujah. If you meet him, you'll never go away the same. Thanks be unto God. And no matter what kind of condition they was in the Bible, when they met the Lord and believed by faith and saved by the good grace of God, that crowd always left different. And I'm glad it's that way this evening. Don't matter if you live in Rogersville. Don't matter if you live in Colmont. Don't matter if you live in communist China. Don't matter if you live down in Africa. Hallelujah. When you meet the Son of God, you'll go away different. I mean, he'll make an eternal change in your life. You'll never be the same, and I thank God for it. I'm glad for where he's brought me from, and thank God tonight I'm glad for where he's taken me to. And if I knew it had been this good, I'd have definitely got saved many years ago. I'd have got in. I'm glad I got in when I was 25. But thanks be to God, I wish to goodness I'd have got in when I was a boy and served the Lord Jesus. I mean, I wish I got saved when I was a child and got born again by his marvelous grace. If somebody had come by, preacher, and I'm going to say this, if somebody had come by and invited me to church when I was a little boy, I believe I'd have went. I believe I'd have went. Y'all think about that in case you got some lost neighbors. They may have a little old knot-headed boy, amen, like me when I was a little boy running around, that might come if you just go over and invite him. What if you invite him to get saved? What if he be in the house of God and he gets gloriously born again? Maybe God use him somewhere or use her somewhere. We looked at them little kids, and I know a lot of them from rough backgrounds, and we look at them and say, and we just keep traveling. Never even hard to take time to give it a second thought. I believe I'd win if somebody come to my house. Ever since I was a little boy, I used to want to know the God of this Bible. I'd been around just enough of some Bible camps that I'd heard about the Lord, and it had me interested. My family didn't go. And I was raised in a drunkard's home, and I love my daddy, and I respect him, and he's in glory tonight. Thank God, after about a month and a half after I got saved, my daddy got saved. And about a week later, my mama got saved. Hallelujah. Then my older brother got saved. And he's in glory tonight. Nephew got in. Boy, I mean, he was playing in the field tonight. Thank God my nephew got in. What a difference Jesus makes. Hallelujah. He's the best thing ever happened to me. It's a good day when I met my wife. Hallelujah. It's a good day when we heard we was having our first child after 9 years of praying and seeking the face of God. It was a wonderful day when she said, I'm pregnant. Hallelujah. It's wonderful. And I can honestly stand before you this evening. I don't know none of you. Amen. But I can honestly stand and say tonight, the best thing ever happened to this old boy is I met the Lord. Glory! I met the Lord Jesus and He saved my soul. Hallelujah. Best thing ever happened to me is I got born again. It's the best thing. April 12th, 1998 was the best day of my life. Woo! Hallelujah. Best day of my life. And I thank God for it. I thank God for what He's done. And I'm glad the Lord has blessed us like He has. He's been good to us. I don't feel like God owes me anything. But I feel like I owe Him everything. I feel like Paul, I'm a debtor. I'm a debtor. And I want to serve Him. I want to live for Him. And you say, well, it must be easier upon your end of the world. It's not always been easy. No, sir. Far from it. And but I thank God, hallelujah, He never has left me. And He never has forsook me. I sat there in the funeral home with my mother when she passed away with cancer a few years ago. And we was able to rejoice in the Lord in the funeral home. My brother got killed 2 years later by a drunk driver. He is an illegal, by the way. And had a Tennessee driver's license. That's amazing. Ain't him illegal. Had a job there in a factory down off in Warren County. And he ran over my brother about midnight and killed him back in 06. And I was thankful the Lord always stood by our side. Hallelujah. Amen. My daddy had a massive stroke back in 09. It killed him. And he died and went on to be with the Lord. Brother Frazier come over at the hospital and visited with me. Is it all right if I testify? And Brother Frazier come over there. I think most of y'all probably know Brother Frazier. He come over and was my daddy. Boy, it's one of the worst things could ever happen. He had a do not resuscitate badge on, bracelet. And they didn't see it. And he would have went on to be with the Lord that Thursday. But they didn't see it, Brother Rackley. And they resuscitated him. And he was just like in a comatose state. And you talk about a man who just about pulled his hair out. I said, oh God. I said, I don't want this decision to be hung on me. Are you listening to me? I said, he didn't want to be resuscitated. They resuscitated. And they come in and apologized to us. And I said, I don't want this decision on me. But Brother Frazier come over that a day or two later, whether that was Friday or Thursday, he come over about the next day. And we went in there, and my dad, his vitals were all holding. The same place had been for a long time. All day. It was that Saturday morning, his vitals had stayed the same. Brother Frazier come in there, and we sat in fellowship for a while. And he said, you want to go in here? He said, Bill Wright, if I go in here and pray with your dad, I said, that'd be a blessing, brother. I said, let's go in here and pray. We bowed our head for prayer. And I mean, the presence of God moved in there with us. And we prayed 5-10 minutes. We got done praying. I looked up and everything was flatlined. And I believe my daddy, and I believe this. So there was times, preacher, when I would try to talk to him when he was in that state that it seemed as though he was responding. That's a good way to go out with somebody praying around you. Amen. Hallelujah. And the Lord stood by us. Hallelujah. Stood by us. And we had 2 children after 9 years of praying. And God blessed us with a little boy. And He blessed us with a little girl. And my wife conceived again. And we went to the doctor and they said, everything looks good. But then about 2 weeks later we went back. She has a bicornated uterus. It's almost like it splits lap in two, almost like 2 wombs. We went back to the doctor again. They keep a close eye on my wife. And they said, well, it looks like there may be something a little wrong. And I appreciate the Lord that He's able to give us much grace. And God never did. Let me just get what you say. Just slap excited about this one. Just never did. There was in my heart. Never was. God just protected me. He's protected me the whole time I've been saved. Hallelujah. He's never walked off on me. We went back and forth for about 2 or 3 months. She got several months long. Finally went back one day. And I know what it's like to sit in a hospital room. Our regular doctor wasn't there. Had a little old young lady there. And she hadn't been doing that kind of doctoring long. And we went in there and used that machine. And boy, it caught her off guard. I'm telling you. I felt sorry for her, preacher. And I don't say that to be super spiritual. I just felt sorry for her. She started checking for a heartbeat. Never could find one. And boy, she went to stuttering and stammering. And she said, well, the machine's old. She said, let's go in another room. And praise God, I almost feel like running outside and shouting about 30 minutes. She said, well, we'll go in another room. We'll try again. We went in another room and she tried again. And absolutely nothing. You say, what in the world makes you want to shout? I'm glad my God has got sufficient grace. And me and my wife go down the parking lot and thank God. Now I've got 4. I've got 3 here and I've got 1 in glory. Hallelujah. But I am so thankful tonight for God's grace. That it is sufficient for whatever your need might be. Hey, there's not a problem too big. And there's not a river too wide. And there's not a fire too hot that God can't get you through tonight. I tell you, neighbor, He's got grace. He can help you. Whatever your problem is, God can help you tonight. If you'll come to Him and cast all your care upon Him, He'll help you. I said He'll help you. God is in the helping business. Well, I want to preach out of Matthew 21, verse 22, and I don't know. Man, Lord, help me to discern His will. I pray and beg God to help me tonight. I want to give you a few thoughts to think about. And boy, pray for me now. Mind God, pray for me. I tell you, I want to say this. On my way up here, I told my wife when we got back to Knoxville, my heart went to beating. Now, I ain't no performer. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not interested in performing. You're talking about a fella scared to death. You're looking at him. Amen. I mean, you're looking at him. Woo, hallelujah. It scares me, boy. And I don't want to ever mishandle the holy things of God. And I want to be a help to this church. I want to be a help to you. And I want to be a blessing to you. And I want to encourage you in this area of prayer this evening. That's why I want to try to encourage you best I can. And I guess I'm feeble at best, but I'll try to be a help to you if I can with the good help of God. The Bible said in Matthew 21, verse 22. I'll read one verse of Scripture, then we'll have prayer. The Bible said, in all things, whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing. How about that? He didn't say you might receive. And he didn't say there's a possibility you'll receive. Woo! Woo! I said hallelujah. Woo! Praise God! He said you shall receive. I bless His holy name for it this evening. You can go ahead and be seated. Amen. Heavenly Fathers, we bow in prayer tonight. I want to thank you, dear God, for this day. And I want to thank you, God, for this church, their pastor. Thank God for this place beside the road. Dear God, that it can come and feel your presence and see your power manifested. And God, I love you for it and thank you for it. And thank God, Lord, you said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. I'm glad, God, tonight that you're bigger than any, dear God, dilemma that we'll ever face. I'm glad, God, tonight that you're mightier than anything. God, the devil and, dear God, the foes of the church, the living God, can throw at us tonight. I'm glad, God, you can set an open door in front of us that no man can close, dear God, and no man can shut. I'm glad, dear Lord, you said upon this rock I'll build my church. and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I thank God tonight, Lord, that you said all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Lord, we're thankful tonight there's got to be a part of this blood-bought band and those that have been redeemed. There's got the church of the firstborn. And God, we love you tonight. We thank you, dear Lord, you made us a part of the household of faith. God, I pray, God, tonight that you'd move in our hearts, that you'd move in our lives. God, that you would minister, dear God, that soul that's broken tonight. That one, oh God, that maybe is lost on the way to hell. God, that they'd realize, God, there is redemption and there is satisfaction for the longing soul. God, I pray, God, tonight that you would help them, that you would draw them unto repentance. God, that you'd enlighten them, oh God, their lost need. And God, show them their need, oh God, for a Savior. God, with their lost condition, God, we just pray, oh Lord, that you would move in our hearts, move in our lives. Help me, oh God, to be mindful, oh God, of what you want me to say, what you want me to do. And Lord, we'll not fail to thank you, praise you, and bless you for it. Help us tonight, God. Help this church. God, I pray, God, you'd do for us, oh Lord, what we cannot do ourselves. And I pray, God, that we just submit ourselves unto you. I'm thankful, God, tonight you said, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. God, you promised, oh God, if we'd draw near you, as the brother was testifying earlier, dear God, then why can't we have it every service? God, you're not the one standing afar off, and you're not the one, oh God, that's standing away off. But God, you said, draw nigh to me, and I will draw nigh to you, and I believe it with every bit of my being tonight, God, that you'd draw near to us. And we pray, God, that you would during this preaching time. And I pray, God, you'd refresh this church and bless them and help them, oh God, and work effectually in our heart. And Lord, we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray, for his glory and his honor and his sake. Amen. Amen. Well, I don't know. I've probably done half the preaching that I might have done. And if the Lord allow me to, I'm going to talk just for a few minutes about the potential of prayer. The potential of prayer. These four main things, with the help of the Lord, that I'd like to focus on tonight. And here in Matthew chapter number 21, I just want to look at this one verse. I just kind of isolate a little bit and kind of take a look at it. I like what the Bible said, the potential that's found here in Matthew 21 and verse 22. He said, in all things. Ain't you glad for that tonight? Thank God, no matter what you stand in need of, God said, in all things. What's that is the potential. Let me just go through this outline of this verse real quickly, and I'll try to give you the other thoughts. I don't want to get bogged down where I shouldn't get bogged down. But there is the potential found here in Matthew 21 and verse 22. The Bible said, in all things. That is the potential tonight of prayer. I see that the prayer is personal tonight. He said, whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer. In all things, whatsoever ye. I'm glad tonight, I said at the church last night, we had our midweek service on Thursday nights where I pastored, and I'm so glad this evening. Thank God you don't have to wait till you're 65 to be able to get a hold of God. And I say that respectfully. I'm not a smart aleck, but I'm so glad tonight. Thank God you don't have to wait till you're, amen, saved 15 years to get a hold of God. I'm glad this evening, thanks be unto his holy name, that you don't have to be a preacher to get a hold of God, that you don't have to be a Sunday school teacher to get a hold of God, that you don't have to be the choir director to get a hold of God. I'm glad tonight, thank God, that it is indeed personal. And no matter your age, no matter how long you've been saved, and no matter your position in the house of God, if you can call on God tonight, he will respond. Hallelujah. Yes, he will. Whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer. That's our part. Now we're going to have to pray. There ain't no doubt about it. And you can't ride everybody else's coattails in prayer. That's our part. Whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer. Thank God for the people that pray for me. Hallelujah. I don't know if I'd have made it this far if folk hadn't been praying for this old boy. Woo! Hey, I tell you, thank God for the saints. Boy, I got we just got a small congregation. I mean, I'm almost in shock, preacher. I mean, I could put all my people on half this side. Amen. But I'll tell you one thing, thanks be unto God, I've got some folk that I know that know how to get a hold of God, that know how to pray, how to ring the prayer bells of heaven, and may see God move in their life. I'm glad God's given me a handful of people that know him and love him and desire his ways and love his word. I'm glad for it this evening. That is our part. You have not because you ask not. Bible said, whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing. That's the problem. That's the problem in the early church. It ain't a new problem. It's a problem in the early church. You can find it in the book of Acts. I mean, when Peter was set free over in Acts 12, I mean, there's a problem. There's folk praying without ceasing for the great man of God. And even when he was delivered, I mean, it astounded some of them, blew their mind. It's always been a problem. Man full of doubts and full of fears and, amen, can't put his eternal destiny in the hands of another. That's why a lot of people won't ever get saved, to be honest with you. They're scared to death to put their eternal destination in the hands of another. I'm so glad, thank God, 14 years ago, amen, I laid down the arms of my rebellion. I took sides with God against myself. I said, Lord, I deserve to be in hell. I'll be in hell with my back broke. I deserve your judgment. And God saved me when I turned towards him. He saved me. And I've been saved ever since. Hallelujah. Amen. Where I'm from is real strong Arminian doctrine. And I'm telling you, son, they die in the wool where I'm at. If it ain't like that here, you better thank God. Hallelujah. Amen. And when I first got saved, all they could do is try to talk you out of it. I know another person tried to sit around talking folk out of it. He always told me I was all right before I got saved. He says, I got saved. He said, I wasn't all right. Amen. I think you know who I'm talking about. Whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, the Bible said, you shall receive. That is the promise that God has given to men. Ain't that a wonderful promise tonight? I tell you, that thing ought to be posted above our door. That thing ought to be hung on our refrigerator. We ought to get confidence in God. We ought to be confident in the Lord. Hey, don't trust yourself. Don't trust your neighbor. But thank God you can trust in God. Man will let you down is what I'm trying to tell you. And sometimes we view God like we view man. Sometimes we've been let down by friends and family and dads and moms, and we've been let down by this one and that one, but thanks be to God, He'll never let you down. God will not let you down. I'm not a psychologist. I'm not. I'm far from it. But sometimes in counseling people, and you get talking to, I've talked with several young Christian men, and sometimes they get talking about this thing of doubts and fears and unbelief. And we'll get into conversation, and sometimes I'm afraid that they're approaching God on the same premise that they had a relationship with their dad. Because he'll tell him he was going to do something, and he wouldn't. Amen. It got real quiet. Man, I don't want to kill the meeting. God help us. Amen. And, oh, I'll take you fishing Saturday, and that Saturday never comes. Huh? And you can, oh, hey, you can always find something to do. I was raised on a farm. You ain't telling me nothing. You ain't never done on a farm. Never you done on a farm. Never, oh no. Never ever you done on a farm. But I'm saying, hey, friend, you tell your child you're going to do something with it. Thank God you ought to do something with it. Don't crush his dreams and don't destroy his confidence in you, because someday he may approach God with the same ideals. I believe that, preacher. I believe that. I try to pick their mind just a little bit and ask a few questions, and I almost always fall back the same thing. They're approaching God just like they have their earthly dad. Didn't have no confidence in him, and now they're getting to a place where they don't have no confidence in God. May the Lord help us. I know, I mean, that excuse probably won't stand one day when they meet God, but I tell you, it is a problem we deal with. Now, I want to say this, and I'm going to hurry. One writer said, all success in spiritual work is dependent upon prayer. Do you believe that tonight? Do you believe the future of this church is dependent on prayer? Huh? Hey, thank God for preaching. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. We have got to pray for the preacher. We got to pray for the man of God. I mean, we have to find us a place to get along with God and commune with Him and talk with Him and fellowship with Him and thank Him for what He's done. I preached last night out of Psalm 100. And the Bible said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. And I asked the church, I said, have you ever been in a restaurant and had a waitress or a waiter that didn't like one, you could tell they didn't want to wait on you? Yes, sir. Huh? And in your heart, in your mind, you probably looked at your wife or your husband and said, there ain't no way that I'm leaving a tip. Huh? Come on, you just like me now. Hey, we're made out of the same kind of stuff. And I tell you, friend, we ain't careful, we'll look at them and say, ain't no way I'm leaving nothing here. And you could tell they was despondent and they didn't care and they was disheartened in what they was doing. They could care less if you got another refill. That's right. I wonder if sometimes the Lord looks at us when he said, serve the Lord with gladness, if he looks at us like that despondent waitress. Sometimes they come out to your table. I ate at Cracker Barrel on the way up here today. And they come out and say, I'm your server today. I wonder sometimes when God looks at us in this area of prayer that we're serving him with gladness. Amen. I wonder if he gets that despondent look and turns his back saying, oh, well, to God, I'm leaving him a tip. Amen. I wonder about it. Serve the Lord with gladness, he said. And we ought to come to God with thanksgiving in our heart. We've got so much to thank him for tonight. I was listening to this brother testify, and I know what he's talking about. And I thank God, God did save me. Hallelujah. And I bless his holy name for redemption. I'm glad, thank God. I ain't had to worry about nobody pulling up my driveway trying to whip me since I got saved. Amen. I ain't had another gun pulled on me since I got born again. Thank God I ain't had to get my fingerprint since I got saved. I'm glad tonight that God is in the saving business. And I tell you, he is worthy of communion. He is worthy of fellowshipping with. He is worthy of talking to and giving him our heart and telling him our desires and our needs and going to him in prayer this evening. I'm telling you, he's worthy of it. Sometimes I'm tired and worn out when I come in, but it always thrills my heart when my children want to spend time with me. You listening? I mean, it blesses my soul no matter how tired and how worn out I am when I can come in and my kids meet me at the door. And see them big blue eyes of my little blonde-headed girl. Say, Daddy, Daddy. She'll meet me almost every time just like clockwork when I come to the door. Thrills me to death when she meets me there. My little boy, he usually ain't too far behind. Can you imagine tonight in the economy of God, in the heart of God? Amen. And I know me and you sometimes we look at ourselves, we don't feel like we're nothing, and we feel like a big zero and everything else. But can you imagine how it thrills our Heavenly Father when we can come to him and commune with him and thank him for what he's done? I mean, you wake up thanking him, go throughout the day thanking him, go to bed thanking him, quit asking for something every time you turn around, and just get down and thank God for being so good to you. When's the last time you just took time to thank him for being good to you? Hebrews chapter number 11, I want to read you some things. The Bible said, who through faith, verse 33, subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth, and all these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God, having promised some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. And I want to just read this little portion here in Hebrews. The whole chapter is worthy of reading tonight, dealing with what I want to preach on. But I think a lot of it has its roots back in verse number 6 of Hebrews 11. The reason these people were able to do and achieve what they did do and what they did achieve, I believe you'll find its roots in verse number 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe, number one, that he is. I don't have to look around too much tonight to figure out there is a God. Hallelujah. I sat in my study the other day, looked outside the trees, preacher, and I was looking at them trees. I said, the devil never has created a tree. And I sat there and looked down to them creeks and them rolling hills back where I live, out there in the middle of nowhere. And I said, the devil couldn't create this if he wanted to. And I sat there and raised my hands in my study and lifted my voice and said, thank God, Lord, you're so much greater. And God, you're all powerful. And God, you are indeed sovereign. And God, you're in control of everything. Hallelujah. You must believe that he is. The second stipulation is that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I want to ask you a question tonight, and I'll probably just get to the point. I feel like the Lord wants me to. Have you ever won anybody to the Lord? Have you ever won anybody to the Lord? Now, I'm a stickler when it comes to this thing of trying to win people. And there's not a hyper soul winning bone in my body. I believe God has to draw a man. I believe he has to be under conviction before he'll ever experience conversion. A pardon meant nothing absolutely to me, amen, until about a week after the law come. Y'all catch that? Y'all pick up what I'm throwing down? When you get under conviction and God begins to draw men, and thank God he can be saved. Before I got saved, every words I turned, God had somebody, brother, in my face witnessing me. That's the biggest thing I'd ever seen in my life. I'd never seen nothing like it. I mean, I existed in this rotten, sin-cursed world for about 20 years and had about one or two people ever witnessed to it. That was it, one or two. But all of a sudden, when I got about 23 or 24, I mean, man, they come crawling out of the woodwork. Yeah. Amen, I worked in a foundry, and I tell you, brother, it was rough. Poured iron for about 6 years. And I mean, it's hot, it's rough, tempers flare up. You see people act just all manner of ways in a foundry. But I had a boss that was in that foundry. And I knew him when he was lost. Then he got saved. And when he got saved by the good grace of God, all of a sudden, man, he just dialed in. I mean, he just dialed in real close, right down on where I was always at. Every day I could see him come by in that blue, they had a blue hard hat and a blue uniform. We call them blue hats over there at the foundry. And every day I could stand up on that loop, pour an iron, I'd look on my shoulder, and before the day was out, I'd see that blue suit coming. And he wasn't sitting a witness for 30 minutes, and he didn't preach to me for 45 minutes. All he would say is put his hand on my shoulder, he'd tell me he loved me and was praying for me and didn't want me to die and go to hell. And I'm telling you, I could have crawled under a grain of sand when I seen him coming. Went long after that, God put me on a line, and there was a little old lady worked on it. And I said, well, I probably got a pretty good day. They probably won't know what's up. Nobody said nothing about Jesus over here in the grinding department. And sure enough, I hadn't been there 5 minutes. She said, son, do you go to church anywhere? Y'all listen to me. I said, man, good night. I can't escape this outfit. They're everywhere. And I tell you, she got to me too, boy. I mean, it got to me. I mean, it's working on me. She said, you seem like an awful fine young man. She said, you seem like such a good boy. She said, it'd be a shame for you to die without God. She said, won't you think about giving your life to Jesus? God put another one with me before it's all well. Man, that's coming from everywhere. I mean, God got on my trail. And I want to tell you why I think he did. Can I tell you why? I believe somebody's praying for me. I believe somebody was getting down their knees and they said, oh God, you said, and whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing we shall receive. And God, we want you to put some witnesses in that boy's life. I believe that's exactly how it happened. Don't run me down to the service and tell me no different. Just leave me alone. If I'm dreaming, praise God, let me dream. I tell you, I believe that's how it went. I believe somebody got down on their knees, sacrificed their time, had me on their mind, and called my name out, and asked God to save me by his grace. I believe I can stand before you tonight, the product of answered prayer. Everybody in this building, I don't care who you are, if you're saved, you're the product of somebody's prayers. You are. No doubt about it. Somebody got to seeking God, calling out your name. You might have even been a child. Hey, I'm praying for my kids' salvation. I'm not going to wait till they get 19 and 18 to pray for them to be saved. I mean, I've been praying for them since they've been in the womb.
I prayed for that. My wife, they were conceived. That God don't even give you children if they're going to die and go to hell. That God, if you're blessed with children, I'll do my best to win them to you. I want God to save my youngins, and I'm going to wait till they get 20 to start praying it. Need to talk to them about the Bible. Need to talk about the Bible around the house. Need to quote some scriptures to them. Sing some songs to them. Encourage them in the Lord. And let them see that Christianity ain't a drudgery, but there's joy in serving God. I think a lot of people, they act one way here and another way at the house, and it turns their kids off. 25 years I wandered through this world, and I watched people I knew went to church cuss, steal, just like you was talking about earlier. I watched that outfit and I said, man, I ain't interested in church. If that's the way some of it goes, I'm not interested. That's what I used to tell myself. But boy, it was a happy day when I got my eyes off everybody. Hey, if you're here tonight, listen, lost, I want you to hear me and hear me good. Amen. Hey, everybody ain't like that. Hallelujah. Everybody's not a hypocrite. Everybody's not an actor. But everybody's playing games. There's some folk in this world that's real, that love God, that pray, love His Word, and desire to serve Him. There is some people in this world like that. And I met one of my wife's grandmother. I met one. I seen she was real. I seen that supervisor I had in that foundry. I seen he is real. Hey, when it used to get so bad, the loop would tear up. If we ever cut that loop off, son, you didn't ever cut the loop off when I was pouring iron. I know that don't mean a thing to probably 99.9% of you. But you didn't cut the loop off. I mean, when them supervisors come down there, they wasn't grinning when you cut the loop off. You listen to me? And I've seen that man come through, and I've seen him bust his hard hat. I've seen him throw it just about through the windows and everything else. But after he got saved...
Yeah.
It's amazing. You could cut the loop off, he'd come down here, and he might be a little agitated, but he wasn't throwing his hard hat no more. I believe there must be somebody here that likes throwing their hard hat. Amen. I believe that with all my heart. I believe somebody here, you got a bad temper, and God saved you, but you ain't never let Him save you from your bad temper. God wants to help us. God wants to give us victory through the Lord Jesus. He don't want us laying around defeated all of our lives. He don't want to sit around belly aching about how bad we've got it in a testimony time. All we can do is brag on how rough it's been. God wants us to praise His name and walk in victory and glorify Him. God in prayer. The potential of prayer. My soul. You was right. I might preach 4 or 5 before I get done. I got to be careful. I don't want to do y'all like that. Man, I don't want to wear out my welcome. Hallelujah. The problems concerning prayer. Sometimes I wonder if there's enough preaching on it. Sometimes I wonder if there's enough practicing it. Sometimes I wonder if there's anybody passing it on. You know, the disciples, they took up the request, teach us to pray. They didn't ask to be taught how to preach. They didn't ask to be taught how to soul win. They said, man, if we can learn how to pray, the rest will fall in line. You listening to me? And I believe that with all my heart. Boy, when you learn how to pray and you'll stay with the Bible, both of them, and be a well-balanced Christian, I mean, I think everything will fall into place. I'm going to tell you something unusual that happened to me here the other day. And I went for several days praying and talking to the Lord and asking Him to save sinners, asking Him to revive the church and to help us. And then one day I just went in, just sat down, put my back up against the modesty wall. And I just sat down and began to talk to the Lord. And you know, for several days, preacher, and God just spoke to me. He said, you've been praying and it's not been personal. It's been impersonal. You listening to me? Hey, I'm trying to help you from something I've had to learn the hard way. I mean, I was asking Him to save the lost. I was asking Him to help the church. I was asking Him to bless our missions program. I was asking Him to save sinners in the community. I was asking Him to do everything. I was asking everything right, but it was impersonal to me. And God had to break my heart and show me it was impersonal. Just going through the motion. Just a dead ritualistic prayer. No heart in it whatsoever. You ever been in that shape? It's not a good place to stay, I can guarantee you. God reveals it to you. You better get out of it. And ask the Lord to help you. I want to say something else. And I'm going to close here in just a few minutes, Lord, be my helper. You know, when you hear a prayer request given in the house of God, I want to ask you something. I wonder when they was requesting prayer, when Peter and John had been brought before all the dignitaries, and you know, if you mention this name again, hey, it's going to be the end of you. Don't want to hear nothing about that name ever again. Fall from your lips. Better go talk about something else, fellas. Better go back and get your nets and go back to your old occupation. We don't want to hear about that no more. Don't want to see you in front of this assembly ever again. And I wonder, you know, if they lived today and they walked in the average church and they said, hey, what happened? And they tell them what happened. You know, you read over in Acts 4, those people begin to pray together. And they shared in one another's burdens. Now I wonder sometimes when some poor old saint stands up in the congregation, they've got something pressing them so bad. I mean, brokenhearted, just fighting devils, boy, tooth and nail. I wonder if sometimes when we hear their prayer requests, they say, pray for me, boy. I'm not backtracking on what I said a minute ago. Sometimes we do have hardships. Sometimes we do have trouble. And it's good to pray for one another. But sometimes I wonder if we really do pray for them. I mean, you know, if Peter and John was in the average church of the day, hey, everybody, tonight we need to gather around and pray for Peter and John. They're having trouble. Hey, Peter's in prison in Acts 12. Hey, we need to gather around and pray for Peter. I wonder if we come up and hit it for about 2 minutes and go back and sit down. I wonder if we just come up for just about 5-10 minutes at the most and say, oh, God, help Peter, and get up and say, hey, man. And then as soon as the preacher dismisses the service, boy, it's a big one I caught the other day. You got a man in prison. You're going to pray 5 minutes and you're going to get up and talk about the big one you shot. Oh, it's getting quiet in here. Man, it's getting bad. Praise God, y'all got a back door. But I'm telling you, God, help us to get back to what the early church had. I mean, they had a desire. They had zeal to see men delivered from bondage. They had a burden down their heart and down their soul, and they could ring the prayer bells of heaven and not fall out and pass out and not despair in prayer, but they'd pray that God set God's man free. I wonder. I'm saying this, preacher. I believe I'd hate to be in prison now. I'm not being mean. I'm not trying to be critical. I'm just trying to ask you where in the world your prayer life went to. Have you ever even had a prayer life? Is there a concern? When's the last time you got down and when you called on somebody's name, you felt them hot tears? I done told you what happened to me. See, I'm not beyond what I'm trying to preach this evening. I'm not a Pharisee. I'm telling you, God stopped me on a day and He said, your prayers have been impersonal, son. I was glad He woke me up. For I traveled many more days down that road. And God helped me. And God spoke to me. I want to give you a few thoughts. And I'll just keep the bare bone outline. James said, you have not because you ask not. I don't know about you tonight, but I don't like being a have not. Do you? If I'm going to live for God the rest of my days, and I have no idea how many there will be. But I want to try to do my best, do something for the Lord Jesus. And I don't want to die and go to the grave. You know, they used to sing that old song, must I go and empty-handed? Man, what a song. But how many of God's people that know redeeming grace and His redeeming love are going to go to the grave empty-handed and not one soul to bring Him? But I'm like you. I believe sitting in some of our churches is the greatest potential. I believe it's here. But I'm afraid we're not tapping into what God wants us to get in. When was the last time you come early to church and met down in the prayer room? When's the last time somebody got you by the hand and after the service is over and the preacher preached and it stirred you up and you got together and said, hey, let's pray 15 minutes together. Let's go pray tonight. When's the last time you got down your pine thicket and prayed? Sometimes I get to listen and I hear people say, boy, I remember when I first started out preaching and you just go down the pine thicket. That used to scares me. That scares me. Oh, remember when I first got saved? And I used to go down the laurel thicket back in the side of the holler. Used to. Living a life, I used to. Probably why we have not a lot of times. So be careful. Lord, help us. And he said, you have not because you ask not. I thought about in the post office of glory, all the junk mail that's pitched to the side. All them vain petitions. All them empty prayers. Impersonal prayers. All those asking amiss. All those prayers was offered up with iniquity in our hearts. All the unbelieving prayers. All the no fervency prayers. Even no asking in Jesus' name prayers. They're still laying dormant in the post office of glory, never to be answered, because we went about it the wrong way. I don't know a whole lot about prayer, but I know this much: it is a sign of life. It is, and I feel tonight. Oh, it's that sweet communion with God. And I can say and give you probably 100 different definitions what different men said, but thanks be unto God tonight. When every one of my children was born, preacher. Every one of them had a way of asking for what they wanted. I believe it's a sign of life, don't you? I believe prayer is a sign of life. I believe it's a sign and a reflection of the desires of the soul of man. If you really want something, no matter if you can even afford it, you'll try to go get it. You'll borrow money. You'll swipe the plastic, do whatever you got to do. Oh, why can't we be like that spiritually and just call on God and ask Him to save our loved ones? Ask Him to revive our church. Ask Him to move through our community. Ask God to visit with His people again. Hey, He saved you. He can save somebody else just like you. I believe sometimes we forget where God brought us from. We'll go down to the gas station and be a fellow walk by him, and all you can see is a tattoo. There's one old boy around home. We've tried to win the Lord. I mean, he's got verses of Scripture all over him. I laughed the other day. I told one of them preachers with me, I said, you get your daily Bible reading in talking to that fella. I said, he's covered up. I said, you get your daily Bible reading in if you go witness to him. I couldn't help it. You'll have to forgive me. Amen. We forget where we're at sometimes. Not everybody got saved at 5. Not everybody got saved at 6. And I tell you, I don't care what they look like, what their appearance is. Thank God, God can save their soul. You take a man that persecuted the church and hunted the church, and a pile knocked on your door, you dare not answer if you was a child of God. But God reached down and saved him. We're going to do that old demoniac. God reached down and saved him. And he went out publishing all the great things that the Lord had done for him. God and saved. We need to have confidence in the Lord tonight. I'm going to give this, preacher, and I'm done. Amen, I'm done. I want to give you just something. I want to say, number one, distance is not a problem when it comes to this thing of prayer. God's nearer and closer than a lot of times what we give Him credit for. Psalm 130, verse 1, the Bible said, out of the depths have I cried unto thee. Psalm 61, verse 2, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. Jonah chapter 2, verse number 2, out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. 1 Kings chapter 8, we find the great king praying and talking to God. And he talked about a God being in heaven, but he also talked about God hearing him. Distance is absolutely no problem for our blessed Lord. That's why our Phoenician woman come and sought out the Lord to touch her poor, demented child. She wasn't in the presence in the room. She wasn't there on the roadside as a Syrophoenician talked to the Lord. But I tell you, brother, distance was no problem. I was sitting outside, and I've told this before. I don't know. Y'all ain't, I ain't never told it here, of course. I never even been here. I was sitting outside on a lake, a farm lake, back home where I live. Went fishing that day all by myself, minding my own business, didn't bother nobody. And I was sitting there fishing, and God got in the boat with this old boy. Are you listening to me? Yeah. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying distance ain't no problem. You can be in the house of God tonight, and if you get a burden for your loved ones and call on them, God might meet with them right where they are. God began to deal with me while I was sitting in that boat and showed me my lost condition and showed me I was headed for hell. Tore my nerves up so bad. I mean, ripped my guts out. I loaded my boat up, went back to the house, called my wife. She was dating then. And I said, there's something bad wrong with me. And brother, I never did get away from it. Never did. So I mean, he sunk his hooks deep in on this old boy. Hey, and I kept trying to do the things I'd always done, but man, I was getting more miserable. I was getting sick of sin. I was getting sick and tired of living that kind of life. I said, this ain't no life for me. There's got to be something better. And thank God when I called on his name, he accepted me wide open, and he outstretched his heart. He said, he that cometh to me, I will no wise cast up, and I can stand tonight and testify on his behalf that it is indeed true. God said, testify against me. In one book. I ain't got nothing bad to say. But he sought me out when I was lost on the way to hell, and he saved me when I moved towards him. When I ask you, say, you got lost family members? Distance ain't no problem. Distance is no problem. We all be determined to persevere in the prayer place. I've heard Brother Allen say it so many times. He said, you want me to tell you how to keep from fainting? He'd always quote Luke 18:1. The men ought to always to pray and not to faint. Number three, God delights to hear our prayers. Do you know that? Listen to this verse in Proverbs 15:8. The sacrifices of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. God wants to hear from you worse than you want to talk to him. I believe that by all my heart. And we do. God knows we have plenty to pray about. I'll give you the last one. I'm going to give you a couple of thoughts. I'm going to get out of the way and let the preacher come. I'm going to give you the last thought that was on my heart. Difficult situations do not make God perspire. Should not the judge of all the earth do right? Genesis 18:25. Psalm chapter 5, verse number 3, the Bible said, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. I tell you, difficult situations, don't matter what you're going through, it does not make God nervous. Difficult situations do not make God perspire. Sometimes me and you enter into dilemmas in our life and places in our life, we have no idea what in the world we're going to do. I said this to the church the other day, and I'm done. I got to quit. I said this to the church the other day. We used to play football when I was a boy. And you'd come up to the line of scrimmage, and if the quarterback didn't like the way the defense was set up, he'd call what we call an audible. He'd change the play. I want to go on record saying tonight, thank God when God's come to the line of scrimmage, He has never had to call an audible and change the play at the line of scrimmage. Never. Woo! Praise God! He's never had to back up and say, time out! Time out! We're about out of time! Time out! We're about out of time! Time out! God has never done that! Hallelujah this evening! He's never done it! God tonight is in control! He's never had to call a timeout. He's never had to call an audible. Thank God he always goes forward for the glory of God. Never has the devil made him nervous. Bless his holy name. Come on, brother, I'm done. God can help you whatever your need might be. God can help you tonight. God can help you. You got a burden for those that are lost. God wants you to. He wants you to use you to save some, help see somebody saved. He does. He wants to use you. Hey, it don't matter who you are. God wants to use you. A lot of them people I was talking about earlier that used to witness to me and I was lost preacher, they weren't even preachers. What about that? No. It was just old, everyday common folk. Amen. I'm done. I'm done. Hallelujah. I bless his holy name. Amen. He's good to us. And I guarantee you, we'll humble ourselves, get to pray. talk to God, I think it probably ain't gonna tell them what might happen if we get serious about prayer. I believe that. I mean, just start dedicating our time. Hey, let's see, there's 168 hours a week, is that right? 168 hours a week. I wonder how many we've given to God in prayer. I wonder how much time do we spend along with the Lord. Hey, there's some folk that'll spend hours on the computer. There's people spend hours fumbling around texting. I mean, it's pitiful. You spend a little boy right at church with me. I mean, he'll sit and text and never even look at his phone. And I asked him, I said, how in the world can you do that? He said, I've done it a lot. I said, I tell you, you've done it a lot. I said, I told him one.